WKGC, your local public radio station. It's Three Dog Night and Old Fashioned Love Song. I'm Tori Shea, in for the illustrious Captain Kirkman.
Who's goofing off.
Who is goofing off this morning. And we've also invited the head geek of Gulf Coast State College, Guy Garrett, to talk about some science things and the passing of Stephen Hawking and what's going on in his cybersecurity program. And if any of the other geeks on campus are offended by that,
right now I'm
in ATC 230.
Yeah, right, now he's over there, I think, stripping all the information out of my cell phone.
Just remember, in our world, geek is a compliment. Nerd means I'm impressed.
And good morning, producer Brandon.
Good morning.
Well, we are mourning the passing of renowned physicist, Professor Stephen Hawking, and that broke yesterday. I know you guys mentioned it,
It was a very busy day yesterday.
We had a lot of guests.
And I didn't really think we really didn't do justice to somebody who has, whether you know it or not, has really changed our world.
Yeah.
Maybe for the better, maybe not, but certainly has made a huge impact on what we know and, in some cases, what we think we know. Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely. You think about it, in 2013, you and I were talking about this earlier this morning, Hawking predicted that AI is pretty just going to take over the Earth. They won't need a need for people. And that's one of the things that economists now are wrestling with, because we have a class of people in this world, low-skill, low-wage labor, that aren't necessary anymore. Robots are taking those jobs. And I know in Los Angeles, McDonald's is pioneering a restaurant with one employee, all the robots, and, you know, of course, Los Angeles just passed a $15 an hour minimum wage. Well, when you got one employee, that's fine, because you just eliminated, I don't know how many people are on a McDonald's shift, probably 6 to 10 or something in a small store. And I saw another video online the other day about Flippy. Flippy is a robot that makes hamburgers.
All
these places that need, you know, the old adage, hey, you know, go get an education, you'll be flipping burgers. Well, go get an education or you're not going to be doing anything.
I can get my own personal flipping. I want one at home.
You better get a really good education and you can be programming Flippy because you will have a job. I believe you need to go see Professor Garrett
the
about
thing.
That.
There are still going to be jobs that people need to build the robots, maintain the robots, program the robots, but it's a very different skill set.
The problem, though, with AI, artificial intelligence, is you have robots that can program other robots. And that's the challenge with it. In fact, Google launched an AI not long ago. They shut down. It literally scared the developers.
Really?
It was communicating in a different language,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
It was creating its own language that they didn't understand. So they completely shut this thing down. And the challenge becomes, from a societal standpoint, what do people do who, you know, pretty much they have a low skill set, or they don't do well in school or something like that. So it's a societal challenge. That's why you're hearing in California and some other places around the world, universal basic income and these things are coming up, because what do you do with people who cannot go to work because they don't have a useful skill set? So if you are in school right now, if you're a parent that's listening out there to your kids, you really need to push them hard and push them hard in the subjects that really teach you critical thinking, like mathematics, physics, the hard sciences, even some of the liberal arts. It's amazing what you can learn in a music class.
Yeah, right. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Music is applied physics, folks. I mean, that's all it is.
What did Stephen Hawking think the end result of that was going to be?
Well, he basically said if in 200 years we don't get off the Earth, it's not going to be habitable for humans anyway.
He really said that would be the downfall of the human race when as soon as these AIs began to replicate themselves and develop. I think the quickest way to it is we could just say Skynet. Brandon will go with the Skynet thing, but yeah, without Arnold. I think we're looking at Skynet without Arnold.
Well, they made a television series and they redid it not too long ago called Battlestar Galactica, and that's exactly what happened. This technology they created to do all the manual labor, the Cylons. Got a little torqued out with, you know, being treated that way, and had a slave revolt essentially, and wiped out almost the entire human race except for that one battle star that drifted off and tried to find Earth. And of course they ended that with a dystopian tragedy. So that's the challenges, and that was the thing about Hawking. As a theoretical physicist, he was always pushing the envelope forward, but he liked to make a lot of bets with other physicists.
He was a good-natured guy, fun-loving.
He was really funny. Yeah. He actually, there's a guy named John Preskill that in 1997, he and Hawking got in a debate about whether or not information got lost in a black hole. if it did, then to get anything out would basically rewrite quantum theory, and that's quantum mechanics, and that's what Hawking was hoping for. And this guy, John Preskill, said, no, that's not the case. So they made a bet, and somewhere around 2004, 2005, Hawking finally came out and said, yeah, he was right, I was wrong. But a funnier bet that he made was in 75 with another physicist named Kip Thorne, and they've had these running battles for years. And basically, if Hawking won, he was going to win a four-year subscription to a magazine called Private Eye. If Thorne won, Hawking was going to pay for a one-year subscription to an adult magazine. Well, Thorne won, and yes, Hawking fulfilled the bet, much to Kip Thorne's wife's consternation.
Oh my.
She wasn't real happy with Hawking over that. But you have this man who, you know, did these hilarious things. He appeared in Star Trek. He's been in The Simpsons. Of course, he's been in The Big Bang Theory. I would love to see that episode. Mm-hmm. What would happen when Sheldon Cooper finds out Stephen Hawking died? That would just be an amazing episode to see. And I'm sure they'll do something along that. But a brief history of time, I mean, 237 weeks on the New York Times.
10 million copies of that book was incredible. Everyone enjoyed that book, I think, that
I
read it.
I have one.
You have one?
Yes, of course.
Oh, I still have my copy of it. If you've not read it, take the time.
You don't have to be a physicist to read A Brief History of Time. It's fascinating.
No math required. It's a
no math required book.
No, he did feel that, and that book asserted, you know, he felt that one day humans would understand the mind of God, and that's what cosmologists are looking for.
Yeah, they want to know why things worked.
And what happened before the black hole, you know?
Yeah. Well, you think about how he came on that. Like when he was at St. Albans growing up, he wasn't a great student. Very similar to Albert Einstein's story. He didn't do very well. And at home, though, it was a different story. His parents knew this kid was smart because he would take things apart, take apart clocks and radios, put them back together. He and his friends built a computer when he was young, which back then was not easy to do. It wasn't just calling up Newegg and get a whole bunch of parts. You actually had to really know something about soldering motherboards to get this done. Circuitry and electronics was not difficult. It was not easy to do. And yet here's this person who goes on to, you know, ace all the entrance exams for Oxford of all places. And he was 17 years old when he did that. And when he got accepted, his whole goal was to become a mathematician. Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, at the time, they didn't offer a mathematics degree. So he chose physics and realized, hey, physics uses math to solve even bigger problems.
Right.
And that, to me, is the most amazing thing. The reason I admire Stephen Hawking, I mean, you saw how he suffered from ALS. Here's a guy who had every reason in the world to just quit.
Right.
Just to get what he had in his mind out was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The technology substantially evolved, but they invented technology we now use.
Yeah. I mean, he was an amazing person just to survive ALS that long, much less being an amazing physicist, our generation's Einstein. And thank you for mentioning that. It's a perfect segue to the next song. Here's Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Ain't No Mountain High Enough, on 90.7 FM and HD. It's The Mix. WKGC. This is The Mix. That's Sublime, What I Got. I'm Tori Shea. We've got our esteemed engineer and sometime host, Tom Hoots. Good morning.
Mostly just sometimes something.
Sometimes something. And the head of our cybersecurity program, Guy Garrett, is in to talk about Stephen Hawking as well as all the geeky things going on here on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Morning.
Hello.
And producer Brandon, thanks for being here.
Yeah, as always.
Guy, off air, we were talking about Professor Hawking, the ultimate goal. I mean, the ultimate example of suck it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean he seriously
was diagnosed with ALS at 21 years old, and then lived 55 more years. That's amazing.
Yeah, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis.
Yeah, it was interesting because
that means you have short circuiting in your wiring is what it means. The scoliotic lesions on nerves causes them to quit working, short out.
Yeah, essentially he had a bad electrical processor.
Yes, he did.
And yet the guy's one of the most brilliant minds of any time, not just ours. The thing that is so stunning to me, and I talked to a couple of my friends online about Hawking's passing, and we were all talking about how he didn't understand the word quit. I mean, you think about the problems he was trying to solve. He's trying to unravel how the universe was created. That's not for weakness. You can't be weak and do that in mind. And in his own personal life, I mean, things I take for granted, you know, brushing my hair in the morning, brushing my teeth. At the point he was at toward the end of his life, he obviously had to have somebody do that for him. I mean, just getting him dressed in the morning was an ordeal. And to endure that, there's a certain loss of your humanity that comes with things like that. I've had friends of mine that have had things like this, and there's a bit of a loss of your humanity, but he didn't suffer through it. He excelled through it. And that's one of the things that really sticks out, especially when I start talking to students about who Stephen Hawking was, is look at this man and what he accomplished, because there's so much quit in our society today. It's just so easy to where, oh, this is a challenging problem. Let me find a YouTube video. If there's not a YouTube video showing you exactly every step, which, you know, anybody can copy something else, what did you learn? It's wrestling with problems, and that's what Hawking did for a living. It's wrestling with problems. I mean, think about his voice. His first voice recorder was created by Words Plus. It was called the Equalizer. He ran an equalizer program on Apple II. I know you've probably never seen one. This was a big computer. This was not some small thing like a cell phone. This thing was huge, and they had to find a way to attach it to the wheelchair so he could go around with it. Of course, Intel later on came back around and completely revised it. What did you say the processor was?
He had the last chair had a i7, 2.8 gigahertz i7 quad core was its basic processor. So it was pretty much a state-of-the-art machine. Quite small, of course. It's probably based on a laptop chassis.
I hope they gave him at least a 1060 graphics card to go with that. But, I mean, and they offered to give him a new voice because when they originally programmed it, it has robotic-sounding voice. And he said, no, I want to keep the voice I have because it's become part of my identity. So even that quirky robotic voice, when he could have had improved, he still chose to stay the way he was.
With the American accent.
Yeah.
Because it came from California, it had an American accent. And they later, of course, could have replaced that with an English voice.
I'm wondering, as the Einstein of our generation, Dr. Hawking, who will take over his work?
That's a big question, and a lot of speculation on it. And no one's even saying names right now, I think, now. I think right now everyone's just letting him have a time to be honored and remembered.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, his university will come up with that to replace that chair.
Yeah.
One of the things that's kind of interesting about his career, oddly enough, is he never won a Nobel Prize.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Did they ever do that posthumously?
I don't know if they do or not. But
sometimes.
Boy, if there's a time to do it.
Yeah, it might be now.
in fact, he didn't achieve the Presidential Medal of Freedom 2009 with Obama. And that's another thing. How in the world did all those other presidents miss that one?
Right.
But they did. But he did receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which, if you don't know what that is, folks, that is the highest civilian award that someone can receive in the United States.
Right.
And it goes to a lot of politicians and dignitaries, a few celebrities. But Hawking is an example of why you give that award.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Really.
Because he revolutionized what we think about science. And I think if people start looking into his life, you can't look into him very long without seeing how he revolutionized just the go get it, take on the problem and solve it no matter what challenge. And he did that. He's also, like you said, he's got a wicked sense of humor.
He does.
He's the only person who ever went on a Star Trek episode and played himself. If you don't remember Star Trek The Next Generation, episode 252, Descent Part 1, Commander Data, who's the android.
Do you have them all? Do you have them memorized, or did you have to look that one up?
I looked that one up.
Okay. Yeah, I did too.
There are a few Deep Space Nine episodes.
Because I'd believe you if you said yes. I would believe you.
I have watched all of them.
Episode 20, it was the final episode of that season.
The only Star Trek I have not watched all of is the brand new one on CBS, and that's because I just don't have a subscription. But Data decided to go in the holosuite and create Sir Isaac Newton, Einstein, and Stephen Hawking have a poker game, because that was real popular on that ship because they're first officer. And the funny thing about it was when they toured Hawking around the set of Star Trek and they got to the engineering section with that big column, which is the warp core, which makes the ship go at light, beyond light speed, he looked up at everyone who was touring him and said, I'm working on that. and you know he was. And of course, the way they wrote the episode, he wins the poker game by bluffing Einstein. So he called Einstein a bluff and won the poker game. So that's what Data created. But I mean, he did those things. He allowed himself to be portrayed in The Simpsons. And he was doing this because he wanted physics and science to be more mainstream. I think he was one of those people that realized all the geeky, nerdy stuff that when I was coming up, I was growing up in the 80s, was completely uncool. And now, you've got people.
He did start the wave of science being cool again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pioneers like him, and I would throw in terms of making science cool, I would throw Carl Sagan in there as well, because he kind of introduced a lot of people to science and certainly astronomy.
Yeah, Carl Sagan, I mean, I remember watching him on PBS growing up and that kind of thing, but Carl Sagan was still kind of in that intellectual genre.
Yeah.
But Hawking got out of that. He got into the pop culture. And he went into, of course, the nerd culture where it was easy for him to be accepted. But he also was known in circles outside of science because of A Brief History of Time. I mean, again, 237 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. That's right. An author's dream.
Yeah.
I mean, authors.
And he was able to connect with people. A lot of scientists can't quite communicate on the level that the regular people mm-hmm. need to. And I think his books definitely did that. You mentioned his remarkable computerized voice earlier, and we do have a clip of an interview with him, and this is Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist, interviewing Hawking, and we'll come when we come back, we'll tease the vinyl play of the day and some other things we're doing on today's show on 90.7 FM and HD.
So, Stephen, everyone wants to know, what was around before the Big Bang?
Nothing was around before the Big Bang. According to Einstein's general theory of relativity, space and time together form a space-time continuum or manifold which is not flat, but curved by the matter and energy in it. I adopt the Euclidean approach to quantum gravity to describe the beginning of the universe. In this, ordinary real time is replaced by imaginary time, which behaves like a fourth direction of space. Mm-hmm. In the Euclidean approach, the history of the universe in imaginary time is a four-dimensional curved surface, like the surface of the Earth, but with two more dimensions. Jim Hartle and I proposed a no-boundary condition. The boundary condition of the universe is that it has no boundary.
Okay.
In order terms, the Euclidean space-time is a closed surface without end, like the surface of the Earth. One can regard imaginary and real time as beginning at the South Pole, which is a smooth point of space-time where the normal laws of physics hold. There is nothing south of the South Pole, so there was nothing around before the Big Bang.
That was Neil deGrasse Tyson interviewing Stephen Hawking. And the funny thing about if you watch this video on YouTube, if you see the look on Tyson's face, now he is a renowned astrophysicist. This is a very intelligent guy. But the look on Tyson's face is like he is barely even grasping what Hawking is saying. It's adorable.
Yeah. Tyson actually yesterday, when the news broke, he tweeted out, "His passing has left an intellectual vacuum in his wake, but it's not empty. Think of it as a kind of vacuum energy permeating the fabric of space-time that defies measure."
You go, Neil.
Nice.
You go, Neil.
And all the nerds said, amen.
Yes.
So that's, you know, our remembrance of Dr. Stephen Hawking. And we do also today have a rock obituary that we'll get to a little later on in the show. And our vinyl play of the day, which Tom has saved me, was actually my vinyl play of the day. It was my day, but I forgot because I was, you know, looking up other things.
Okay, but we can do that next. I know that the Beatles were a favorite. I know they're guys kind of fond of the Beatles now and again. Anyway, I think, what could I do for this? And so what I did was I dug back into. Bring up something that was the album that was supposedly the inspiration for Sgt. Pepper's. And that album is Pet Sounds. And this Pet Sounds was actually Brian Wilson's, I think it was in 1966, I think it was like their 10th studio album. And he really did it all himself. The only thing the other Beach Boys did was sing on this. And so I picked out today... for us and trying to find the mind of God with Stephen Hawking's God Only Knows, Beach Boys, the Pets from Pet Sounds.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows. believe me. Though life could still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
WKGC, your local public radio station. This is The Mix, and that was the Eagles' Best of My Love. Before that, we heard our vinyl play of the day, The Beach Boys.
Tori, why do you make me do a vinyl play every day?
Well, I don't make you. I think we all enjoy it collectively, don't we?
Oh, okay. Well, I seem
we
to get...
love the round sound of vinyl. We're all audiophiles. And everyone here has their own record collection, mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think.
True.
I mean, even Brandon.
Sort of. I'm getting my collection from my grandparents.
There you go. So, okay.
Maybe I need to bring some of Glenn Campbell sometime.
You do. Why don't you just pick out a Glenn Campbell you'd like to do as a vinyl play of the day.
I'll bring it up
anytime. Yeah.
And we'll do a Wichita lineman or something.
I'll go by my dad's and find that out.
That's an absolutely excellent idea.
I was a big Glenn
Campbell
fan.
But we are ramping up to our vinyl vault party that will wrap up our membership drive. That's April 2nd through the 6th, the on-air membership drive. But you can donate anytime at WKGC.org. And even if you decide to become a member earlier than the drive, you can still get your ticket to our vinyl vault party. That's where we will let members pick out their own vinyl from our incredibly huge closet. Tom spends a lot more time in the vinyl closet than I do. How many records do you think are in there?
It's a mind-boggling amount. Right now, we're looking for a place to bulk buy boxes to put them
just
in.
Just so we
can get them from the old building over to this building.
Right.
Pickup trucks and trailers will be involved early on Saturday morning. We're staging this stuff in the old WKGC building, and I'm planning on bringing a 14-foot open trailer just to put boxes of records on.
Right.
I used to love shopping for records, and guys just about old enough to remember going to a record store and standing there pawing through these open wooden boxes where you could look at cover art, and, you know, it was just a lot of fun. I spent a lot of time in record stores.
This
is going to be a blast from the past for me because, again, we're setting this up in the... atrium here at the ATC, and there'll be enough vinyl there to spend hours looking through. No matter what kind of music you like, we'll have something
jazz,
you like.
Blues,
classical,
R&B,
mm-hmm.
funk.
We have lots.
Yeah. Oh, there's stuff in there that people have never heard of, and it's really good.
Yeah, and we have some one-offs. You'll see some white sleeve stuff that are one-offs that were record companies used to send out. This, I wonder what would happen if we took these two together. My favorite, of course, is Devo fronted by Jermaine Jackson. They actually did a song.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. And after you listen to it, you're going to go, wow, that didn't work, did it? But
Tom,
anyway, there's lots of that stuff.
You've been a part of a number of membership drives going mm-hmm. back over the years. Why do we do membership drives?
Well, you have to remember that WKGC is a public radio station. Public means not just the four people sitting around this table.
Mm-hmm.
It's listener-supported radio. And now, we're not going to pay Tori's salary. We're not going to pay Brandon's salary. And you don't pay me at all. None of that comes out of the money that's donated. What we use the money that's donated for is programming.
Right.
And the programming you hear here, some of it we produce ourselves like we're doing this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is quite expensive.
If you can call this a production.
Well,
you're running it. It's a production.
Well, it's some people refer to it as a train wreck, but that's okay, too. Train wrecks are expensive. But
Tori's a great voice coach. When I do the voiceover, she's great.
Oh, yeah. I've had a number of subjects in the voice booth.
So we need to get money to pay for programming. Weekends are full of really nice programming that we buy off the satellite. But we have to pay for that. We have to pay for our daily
Radio Hour, Thistle and Shamrock.
Exactly.
I mean, these are nationally syndicated mm-hmm. programs that they're
good.
Expensive.
They're good. They're good. They're amusing. They're informative. And we do NPR every day in the morning and the afternoons, and we use NPR news drops during the day. We have to pay for those.
Yeah.
And that's what we need public support for.
That's right.
Is paying for those things.
And whether you're into vinyl as a membership gift or not, everyone will be invited to the Vinyl Vault Party mm-hmm. that either renews or starts a new membership. And in addition, we do have some membership gift donations from other sponsors. If vinyl isn't your thing, those are provided by the Seabreeze Jazz Festival, Second Chance of Northwest Florida's Blessing of the Fleet Fresh Fish Fry. That comes out wrong about 50% of the time. Blessing of the Fleet Fish Fry. See if you can say
and
it.
There's something to do with socks, too.
There is the burning of the socks they do every year. And the Panama City Pops has all provided prizes for them, or gift donations mm-hmm. for the membership drive. So that's coming up April 2nd through the 6th. And if you want to beat the crowd, go online at WKGC.org. We're going to hear from the weatherman here in a minute, and when we come back, we'll do music news, and we have a rock obituary this morning.
We do, sadly we do.
As well. So here's Weather on the Mix on 90.7 FM and HD. WKGC, your local public radio station. This is The Mix. I'm Tori Shea, your hostess this morning, in for Captain Kirkman. And good morning, Tom Hoots and Guy Garrett from our cybersecurity program. We're talking about Stephen Hawking earlier. And producer Brandon, our finder of information and all other things.
For the most part.
Yeah. Well, we moved on to music news. And I've got a few headlines for us today. Tim McGraw may alter his workout plans, and that's because of his collapse on stage earlier. And the star says he was suffering from dehydration when he had the collapse earlier this week and thought it was likely caused by hitting the gym a little too hard pre-show. I don't know. That sounds like a flimsy excuse to me.
I've always maintained exercise is bad.
Must have been leg day.
Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Perhaps worked out the legs.
It's leg day and, you know,
exercise is just dangerous, so be careful.
Well, there's a also,
and do it.
Yeah. Exercise could be dangerous. Watch out, Brandon.
PT.
There's a new Pearl Jam album in the works. After releasing the song Can't Deny Me to their 10 fan club earlier this week, they have now revealed that there is a full new record on the way, and that track is expected to appear on the new album. Are you a Pearl Jam fan?
I mean, I listened to some of their stuff.
Yeah, not bad for some 90s rock.
Yeah.
90s rockers. Okay. Yeah, just wondering how your generation feels about Pearl Jam.
I mean, don't ask me because
they're classic rockers now?
I don't think of them as classic rockers.
I thought it was something Smuckers did. There's another flavor in Smuckers.
I'm behind. So
crunchy jelly.
Some of them are, some people that are my age listen to more current stuff. I'm still in like the early 2000s.
Okay, fair enough. Well, Kid Rock is going to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. That'll be during WrestleMania 34 this weekend. And there is a section of the WWE Hall of Fame that is just for celebrities. So he'll join the likes of Snoop Dogg, Mike Tyson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Drew Carey, and Pete Rose. So that's
Charlie Hustle, like you bet.
How do you like that group?
Didn't know you could bet on wrestling like that.
I didn't either.
Odds on everything.
And we also have a rock passing today. Noki Edwards has passed away, the lead guitarist of the Ventures. He died following complications with hip surgery.
Oh, dear.
That's probably shocking to his friends.
You're getting old when your rock icons that you grew up with are getting broken hips, yeah.
Yeah. This may be too soon, Tom. The Ventures recorded 37 albums. Edwards left the band in 68 to pursue a solo career. He did a few solo albums before returning to the band in 1972. And then he left once more to follow a music career in Nashville. Edwards was known as an innovator on the guitar and an inspiration to a lot of young guitar players. Spawned a lot of people mm-hmm. that wanted to play the sort of surf music, and they were from Portland or Washington. They were from the Northwest, the band. So we honor Noki Edwards, and we'll play the Ventures Hawaii 5-0 for you on 90.7 FM and HD. This is The Mix.